but also by you, the musicians and fans who are the driving force of our local music scene. LiveBand.com's listings are different because they're personalized. They're integrated with local music directories that are constantly updated by the bands, musicians, and businesses who refer to them as they pick locations and lineups for their newest upcoming shows. And no one's barred from contributing, since we all know fans know more about the players than anyone. So visit livemusicvancouver.com for the latest major and independent event listings. And while you're at it, check out our archives and discover how closely we all work together in this community, putting on the shows you love.
This is Mick Levin, and you're listening to Wiener's Barbecue on CITR.
Welcome, everybody, to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. With me to my left, CITR Sports Director, Tyler Noble. Tyler, how's your Tuesday going? So
it's a great Tuesday. I had a three-day work weekend, and so I was off last night, and I got a few days off to rest up here, join you for a show. It's been a little while, and I've got 10 straight days of work starting Friday.
Sounds fun.
No.
On the show today at 5:40, we're going to have assistant coach, UBC's Thunderbirds men's basketball team, Vern Knopp, currently still undefeated in this campaign. Milan Grajasevic, the head coach of the hockey team, will be on with us at 5:20. A lot of football talk will be going on after our first guest. Looks like we got a coach. They're going to do the announcement tomorrow, but everybody's saying it's a certain somebody. It's been confirmed to me by two sources. Yep. One of those will be on, Julio Caravata, at about 4:50, so we'll get into that. A new coach will be announced tomorrow, and we've got that name for you.
Yeah, we'll you'll have to wait till later in the show to find out who.
But with us on the line, an individual who... A head coach is retiring here at the University of British Columbia after 24 years. Coached the UBC men's soccer team from 1986 to 1994. Led them in those 9 years to a very solid 6 national championships. Since that time, he's been the leader of the UBC Thunderbird women's soccer team. Led them to 3 national championships. He will be retiring. However, he's staying at the university in some capacity on us. A man who's given this university some great work. The head coach of the UBC Thunderbird women's team, Dick Mosier. Dick, thanks for coming on and congratulations on retiring. What am I supposed to say here?
Well, thank you very much. It's been a great run. I'm, you know, certainly very hesitant about making the move, but, you know, sometimes the time just seems right and the situation seems right.
Dick, you know, looking back in your years, you got to coach the men's team. You got to also coach the women's team. Your son then, of course, took over coaching the men's team. When you started off here, head coach in 1986, I mean, you couldn't have asked it to really go much better or smoothly, could you?
No, it's, you know, it's certainly been great. You know, I've always said if you wake up in the morning, you know, really enjoy going to work, you're a pretty lucky person. And, you know, as trite as that sounds, I'm just that person. You know, working with the highly motivated athletes and human kinetic students for these number of years, in fact, the HK students, another 5 or 10 more than even I've been coaching, has been really exciting, tremendously rewarding. Couldn't ask for better. Couldn't ask for more.
And looking back, you know, you got to coach the men and the women, as I've said. You feel good that you took on both of those challenges?
Yeah, they're different. You know, you need a change once in a while. You know, John Wooden had his old triangle of success there that he generated. One of the greatest coaches ever, in fact, regarded by many as the greatest coach ever. On that coaching triangle, he at the bottom, the underpinnings are passion and work ethic. And you, you know, to have the work ethic, whatever you're doing, you really got to have the passion. And to keep that passion, I've found through my years that, you know, you got to make a bit of a change sometime. I changed from research to coaching, for example, coaching men to coaching women. And although they're not major changes, they're enough change to keep that passion going. Because, well, in this case, if we're talking men and women, they really ask different things of a coach. You know, women, are much more concerned, for example, about you're considering them as an entire person, and you respect them not just as a soccer player, but as an individual. Whereas men are quite different in what they ask out of a coach. So I say those kind of changes really, I think, are important to keep that passion going. And I've always had that passion.
How dominant were your men's team here? I mean, you won 3 national championships with the women, but your men's record is absolutely outstanding. In those 9 years, 1986 through 1994, 73 wins, 6 draws, 11, 6 losses, I'm sorry, 11 draws, and 6 national championships in those 9 years. How great were those teams?
Well, no doubt. We had some tremendous athletes coming through at that time. And fortunately, a good number of them chose to attend UBC and joined our program. And as I say, a lot of them went on from here to even play professional and this sort of thing. And it really starts with great athletes. I had some great assistant coaches during those years, Dave Partridge among them, who was with me for most of those championships. And as I say, it really starts with the athletes. And if you've got the kind of athlete we had, it's just our job to make sure they're happy in their situation, keep them fit, and give them a good system to play in, and let them run. They're the key.
Coach, 9 CIS national championships in your coaching career. Is there any one that stands out the most to you?
It's difficult. The first one's always important. We beat a team when I was with the men's team, beat a team in Toronto that was supposed to run us off the field sort of thing. We had a lot of national team players. That was quite important. Obviously, it was my first one as well. I guess the women's team in 2000, we won back-to-back, 02 and 03. 03 was probably the most dominant team I ever had. In 03, we ended up on national TV, winning the national final against the University of Ottawa 5-0. And to say, that was probably the most complete team, from goalkeeper on through our defenders, midfielders, and probably the best strikers that we've had here at UBC. So, say that was a dominant one. There's a few in the men's side that were, it wasn't all that easy. There was comeback wins. We scored in the last minute, for example, at Guelph University to win a game that put us into the national final. A tie would have put us in the bronze medal. So, I'd say the first one is really important, I think, and then I'd say the most dominant one being the 03 women's team that was named the BC Sport Team of the Year that year.
Coach, some of the dominant players, I believe you've had some of your men players went on to play for the national team. Who are some of the great players you've ever coached?
Well, on the men's side, I mean, it's difficult to sort of separate a lot of them, but I guess a lot of people, certainly Pat Onstad, you would have to put Pat in there, who's still playing goal for MLS in the States at 42 years of age. And Pat was certainly, he's been in the MLS and the MVP and All-Star in the MLS in the UN and the United States for a good many years. Mark Watson probably would be right up there because Mark spent a good number of years playing First Division, now Premier Division, playing in the top league in England. And so, as I say, there was a chunk of them. Those two might be the two that would stand out.
Coach, how proud are you, though, and I brought this up at the top, that looking back, how your son took over the soccer team, the men's program, from you, how and that you've got to really work side by side with him. How special has that been?
Oh, that's super. Just to be able to work with him after having coached him for so many years, was just tremendous. Very, very, very proud of that. It was super.
We talked about the wins, Coach. Is there a high point? Maybe it's not a win. Is there something, though, you're most proud of here at UBC, what you did?
Really just watching, looking back at all the kids that have graduated, where they get to. So it's not really when they're here that's the most important. It's when they leave and they come back and you see what they've done, watching them coming through from freshmen right through on to to seniors, to seeing them graduate as confident individuals on and off the field, take up major positions in our work world. I'd say that really to me is the key.
24 years head coaching. You're staying on at the school in the capacity, though, Coach? You're still going to teach? Is that what you're doing? Or what?
Yeah, I have, to be honest, I have 20 graduate students in the coaching science program. So I will work with them, and I will be teaching in the grad program, working as academic coordinator in the Department of Athletics. So I still have a full plate that I'm looking forward to.
And Coach, I know you live right across the lane from an old great football player here, Dave Corcoran, correct?
That's right.
And I've seen you there watching some NFL football with them on Sunday. So this gives you a little more time to do that now, doesn't it?
It's going to free up the on Sunday. No doubt about that. Although if our men's or women's teams are playing, I'll be there.
You'll be traveling too?
No, well, not on the road, probably. Unless they're close by.
There you go. Dick Mosher, Coach, congratulations. 24 years head coaching UBC women and men, a combined 9 national championships. And you know, Coach, I mean, in the coaching world, there's hirings, there's firings. It has to be nice to go out on your own terms, doesn't it?
Oh, no doubt about that. That's for sure.
Thanks for doing this, Coach, and best of luck in your future capacity at UBC.
You're more than welcome. Catch you later.
Thank you, sir. Dick Mosher there, Tyler, the head coach of the UBC Thunderbird women's soccer team. I mean, you look at, you know, a guy who, you look at his numbers here, almost made it look easy. Yeah. Just like, you know, went on and he coached, what is it here? He's been coaching the women now for 17 years, or 16 years, excuse me. Coached the men for 9. He got 9 national championships. But you look at that record with the men in those 9 years. 73 wins, 6 losses, 6 national championships. It doesn't get better than that.
Well, you look at the people that he's mentored, not only his son, Mike, Kevin Hansen and Hash Kanji as well. He's Dick Mosher serving as an advisor to them, who went on to complete postgraduate degrees with UBC. This guy just, he had that special ability to connect with players and other coaches to be, and that success has been shown very clearly.
And it's got to be pretty rare. I mean, you know, I don't know the statistics, but for somebody to go from the men's, step aside so his son can coach the men's program, then he takes over the women's team and remains successful. I mean, I think that says a lot right there.
Yeah. One of the things we didn't get to ask him is why after 24 years he's decided to stop, not go for the quarter century mark, the 25, you know? I mean, one more season, right? But then again, his last CIS championship was in 2006, so it's been a little bit of time since he's been able to, you know, reach the finish and win that last game of the season, but a remarkable career.
Yeah, I mean, but it's definitely, you know, you talk about the programs here at UBC, and obviously, you know, he coached the men's program, as I said, for 9 years, and his son has taken over, so the UBC soccer program, some of these programs have been in rough shape, but soccer has not been a problem for a really long time.
Yeah, exactly.
So there you have it. Dick Mosher retiring after 24 years as the head coach of the UBC Thunderbird women's soccer team. And I said it to him right at the end there, Tyler. You know, in the coaching world, there's hirings, there's firings, and all this kind of stuff. We see it happen all the time. And he said, it is nice to go out on your own terms after 24 years.
Yeah, not a lot of coaches get to do that. But Dick Mosher was a special coach.
All right, everybody, you're listening to Wieners Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada. Lots to get into. We got a busy show here today.
Yeah.
Vern Knopp, assistant coach, UBC Thunderbird men's basketball team, on with us at 5:40. Milan Dragicevic, head coach of the men's hockey team, coming off a split in Manitoba. They needed a little more than that. But,
well, I mean, they, right since the beginning of the new year, they've needed every win.
Yeah. He'll be on with us at 5:20. Between now and then, though, we got to talk about the new coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's football team. The announcement officially is coming tomorrow. CKNW is reporting that this is a done deal. They're reporting a coach.
Yep.
Howard Samura on the province, apparently you go to his website, he's reporting a coach. I have talked to 2 people today. Both, you know,
which are not those 2 people.
Julio Caravata, the BC Lions radio network, he'll be on with us in a second. He's going to confirm this. And another person I
you
talked to.
You weren't supposed to say that.
Well, actually, I don't know. I was also told by another person that this is a done deal. We're going to announce the new head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's football team after the break, Tyler.
You bet.
There's a new coach coming to town, and you'll hear that in a moment. You're listening to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada.
Matt and Meredith, and I can tell you already, Canada is ready for the spotlight, for their shining moment.
There's a moment in time coming for Canada, and we're all going to be part of it, and it's not going to be something that we so much watch, but we own it. It's ours. But we own it. It's ours. It's ours. It's ours. It's ours.
John Furlong promised that the Olympics would be ours. But time and time again, we've seen that the Games have only taken the city away from us, displacing the homeless, criminalizing poverty, causing vast environmental degradation, and exchanging our civil liberties for the corporate spectacle. See the Olympics in a whole new light at the Rethinking the Olympics conference, organized by the UBC Social Justice Center and held in the Sub January 26th to 28th. Learn more at panels on Rethinking the Olympics, on the impact on housing, and on the student and activism. Dive in with an interactive workshop on art and activism, a workshop from Food Not Bombs Vancouver, and a Know Your Rights workshop from the BC Civil Liberties Association. Check out The Coca-Cola Case, a film spotlighting the labor policies of the Olympic sponsor, and celebrate with drinks and music at the Grad Student Center Penthouse. Go to www.resistubc.com for more information, or search Rethinking the Olympics Conference under Facebook Events. And keep your eyes open for events on campus January 26th to 28th.
Yeah, the state of hip-hop right now, man, as far as the way I see it, I think right now hip-hop is advancing as far as skills. You got brothers, you know what I'm saying, getting, like, more witty.
There ain't nobody to be pretty for. Let it rattle, let the clatter kill him, let the cataclysm wash. Who really listens? Precision with a verse draws a cry. Draw a line between an easy melody and peace of mind.
You got DJs doing all kind of crazy shit on the turntables. I like where it's going, and I like, you know what I'm saying, the creative process that brothers is trying to take it to right now.
Rally Rails and Brendan Butter in the place to be. Crimes and Treasons Radio, 101.9 FM, Vancouver. CITR.ca, every Tuesday, 9 till 11.
Dynamite!
Welcome, everybody, to back to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Anything?
Nope.
Nope.
No, we're still getting the old dial tone.
The old dial tone,
or
hey?
It's ringing.
Oh. Oh, wait.
We have a guest that's not...
not picking up. He's normally very good, you know. All right. That's not there.
That's his voicemail.
We'll have to...
So keep filling.
We'll have to carry on. All right, everybody, it is now time to announce. I mean, Julio told me earlier today. He's got it confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
And another person I talked to today, he's got it confirmed. It's going to be announced at noon tomorrow, right here on campus, I assume. I love it. Where I'm a little choked up is Bob Phillip, the athletic director, called me up about 2 weeks ago and said, for this show... I was so touched. For the show, they're going to do the announcement today. Well, I do a little charity golf thing that was scheduled for tomorrow.
Okay.
But they told me it was going to be today. I maybe would have been able to reschedule my golf thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then on Friday, they changed their mind too late.
Yeah.
So I can't be here tomorrow. And as far as, you know, getting the interview of the new coach, can it be any less timely than next Tuesday when the announcement's tomorrow at noon?
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't have been any worse.
Well, yeah, a whole week.
Couldn't have been any worse. Anyways, Tyler, the new coach, which will be announced tomorrow, of the UBC Thunderbirds men's football team is...
reportedly, Sean Olsen.
Sean Olsen.
Quarterback of UBC's 1997 Vanier Cup winning team. Currently the defensive coordinator at Simon Fraser University with the Clan, who have turned it around under the leadership of head coach Dave Johnson. Sean Olsen over there helping out that program. All the way through, right from the firing of Ted Gavaya in November, I believe it was, the indications we were hearing, well, I mean, we interviewed Bob Phillip right away after the firing, and one of the things that he indicated was being able to hopefully bring in a coach that can reconnect the current program with the successes of the past, the alumni from the past, and who better than the quarterback of the last Vanier Cup winning team?
Well, I guess the question, you know, I want to come out right now. This is the guy I wanted to be the head coach all along. I think this is a great hire. The question I have for the athletic department is, it seemed that from the day Ted Gavaya was fired, the guy Bob Phillip was describing was Sean Olson, why did it take 2.5 months to get this hiring done? When it looks like they've hired the guy they were going to hire all along in the first place. And where it's a bad thing is it gives Sean a little less time to get ready, and he's probably lost out on recruits already. That's my question for the athletic department. I mean, did you really have to take this long to make this hire?
Well, you may be implying there that it was their doing that the process was drawn so long out. It may not have been. You'd have to be one of the people in the circle of trust, if we can put it that way, as far as who they were speaking to, what Sean Olson was thinking himself.
Sean Olson was ready to go. I spoke with him. He was ready to go. That's not a reason.
Yeah. We are speculating still. We haven't actually had any kind of official comment. But perhaps we'll find that out tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll find that out. Well, I won't.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to the press room.
I am so distraught over this. I tried to get Sean Olson on the show today.
Yeah.
I texted Ben Schack, the media relations director here at UBC, because, you know, I texted him saying, can we have Olson on the show at 4:50? No.
Yeah.
I think he was a little annoyed that I even asked.
Yeah, yeah. Well, shall we give Julio another try? Maybe a break, and we'll
take a quick break here on 101.9 FM, and we'll be right back, hopefully with Julio Caravata of the BC Lions Radio Network. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
We are now going to practice our continental way of eating. We pick up our silverware, index finger in the back of the fork, index finger on top of the knife.
What's the matter? Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Luckily, dining at the Sub is a little less formal.
Pi R Squared, located in the main concourse of the Sub. Pi R Squared was voted the best pizza by The Slice in Canada, by its own staff. The joint always has a great vegetarian selection, is now offering cheeseless pizza. Open 10 a.m. till late, 7 days a week. This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society.
Sometimes I'd like to take a peppermint and a switchblade and a Cadillac and throw it all in a fire.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Radio for crazy people and the elderly. Oh, yeah.
LiveVan.com is Vancouver's most reputable, community-driven concert calendar. New shows are listed daily by the city's most prominent promoters, but also by you. The musicians and fans were the driving force of our local music scene. LiveVan.com's listings are different because they're personalized. They're integrated with local music directories that are constantly updated by the bands, musicians, and businesses who refer to them as they pick locations and lineups for their newest upcoming shows. And no one's barred from contributing, since we all know fans know more about the players than anyone. So visit livemusicvancouver.com for the latest major and independent event listings. And while you're at it, check out our archives and discover how closely we all work together in this community, putting on the shows you love.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Wiener's Barbecue on 101.9 FM CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Coming up on the show today at 5:40, we're going to talk to Vern Knopp of the UBC Thunderbird men's basketball team, fresh off a sweep against Fraser Valley on the weekend. They've got a really big game coming up this Saturday versus the University of Calgary. Milan Dragicevic, head coach of the men's hockey team, will be with us at 5:20, coming off a split versus the University of Manitoba. They needed a few more points than that, but, you know, a split isn't too bad. And he'll be with us at about 5:20. Of course, the big news on campus here will be taking place tomorrow when the UBC Thunderbirds announce the new head coach of their men's football team. We have been told by several sources that it is a done deal that Sean Olson will be the new head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's football team. And here with us to save the day, on the line with us, the sports director from CKNW, Jim Mullen. Jim, how you doing?
should have had me on first, actually, and in this predicament.
Yeah. There you go. Jim, thank you so much for coming on the show today. So I've heard it from a couple sources. You guys were the first to break it. Sean Olsen's going to be the new coach tomorrow, hey?
Sean Olsen will be rolled out as the new coach of the UBC Thunderbirds. I really think that this was a decision that was made, I think, based upon Bob Phillips' comfort level. He knows Sean. Sean is a individual who will be able to rally the 1997 crew, of course, the last team to win the Vanier Cup. He was the quarterback of that team, and he was in against some pretty stiff competition. Craig Dickinson, an assistant coach with the Calgary Stampeders, who's the brother of Dave Dickinson. Gary Echeverry also got a look. Dino Jeremiah, who was the interim head coach and defensive coordinator, did get an interview, and he doesn't know what his future will be with the UBC Thunderbirds. Robin Ross was an interesting guy. He ran the Western Washington program until it was disbanded. Has a background in the NFL, coaching with the Oakland Raiders, and spent the last year under Mike Riley at Oregon State University. And John Stevens, a longtime defensive coordinator at the University of Calgary. So that's a pretty impressive crew when you really look at it, and you put it up against Sean's record as an offensive coordinator as part of a Clan team that went 7-18 with no contest. I think mainly his alumni ties really clinched the day for him, because when you look at the field, there's guys there that are a lot more qualified.
But I do agree with the qualification part, Jim, but, I following this team, and I'm a fan of this team, I believe that Sean Olsen is the right hire here, and just the way it's been going here, it would be great to see that late 90s alumni back here.
Well, I think you're basing a lot of your comments on sentimentality, Terrell. I think when you take a look at the credentials of the field, you'd be hard-pressed to really put Sean in the company of some of these guys. However, mm-hmm. I do kind of lean to some of what you're saying, in that if they can spark a renewed interest through Sean's involvement, and he was a great leader back when he played quarterback with the UBC Thunderbirds football program, that may be a huge positive. He's also got the blend of Canadian and American experience that I think that Bob Phillip was looking for. I do know, and I'm in the middle of putting a story up on cknw.com right now, that one major alumni member, Mr. Doug Mitchell, was very unhappy with this selection.
Oh.
And I have a source very close to Doug that is divulged this process, and he in no uncertain terms communicated to Bob Phillip that he would not be at the press conference tomorrow. And you'll have more details about that on a posting on cknw.com coming up in the next hour or so. There's obviously a rift between the major donor, not only to the UBC athletic program, but to UBC in its entirety and the athletic department. And I really do think, from having extensive discussions with people around Doug, that he feels that he's been had. And he feels that the process, in his words, were a sham, and that Sean Olsen was selected from the outset, and nothing could change Bob Phillips' mind on it.
Well, Jim, that is something I've actually brought up to Tyler here as soon as this announcement was made. Mm-hmm. Is we talked about it earlier on in the show, is from the outset, from the day Ted Gavaya got fired as the head coach here at UBC, and this is where I'm very critical of this athletic department in this process, is everything you read. I talked to Bob Phillip. Everything he described to me, and Howard Samora and I were laughing about it, how if they're going to hire a guy who's not Sean Olsen here, we have no idea who this person is. And it turns out 2.5 months later, they do the hiring. It is Sean Olsen. They do the over 1 month delay from a month from in the middle of December. There was that mystical date before Christmas that never came to fruition. Sean has obviously lost out on the chance to recruit people in these last 2.5 months? I mean, it's a fair question. Why did this process have to take over 70 days when it looks like they had the right guy or their guy from, say, day 7?
Well, if you ask Bob Phillip, he'll probably tell you that Dave Sadu, one of the alumni, wasn't available on a specific day in December to do the interviews. I know differently. Doug Mitchell took a look at the list that was provided to him, said that it wasn't impressive enough, that there would have to be a search conducted. He picked up the phone. He started calling around. He brought Craig Dickinson into the mix. He brought John Stevens into the mix and tried to bring another other group of CIS coaches into the mix to compete for this job. And that's why the brakes were put on this entire process. And that's one of the reasons the man who has his name on the side of that new Olympic ice hockey arena just down the road from you guys is an extremely unhappy camper. He has already put a call into the president's office because he is one person who has made major contributions to CIS sports, not just football, but CIS sports right across the board. There's a reason it's named the Mitchell Bowl, and he is going to go on the record opposing any move to the NCAA.
What do you think? Oh, this is all because of the way this hiring was handled, do you think?
Yeah, I think it is. And I think there's been a lot of weaknesses within the athletic department that have been exposed. And I think that the Mitchells were under the belief that Bob was using this NCAA jump as a ploy to leverage bargaining chips out of the CIS, and I think all of us that have been close to this, all three of us who were involved in this phone call and radio broadcast, know that Bob is actually quite committed to it. So, you know, when Doug's sitting in Calgary and other family members are strewn across the country, they only hear the version of what Bob's telling them. And that's leading to probably some problems down the road for this perceived move that will likely be threatened because of this.
You think the Sean Olsen hiring will be threatened because of this? Is that even possible?
I don't think so.
Well, you're talking the NCAA move will be threatened
by
this.
I think the NCAA move is going to be threatened by this. I think when you take a look at someone who's made the contributions to UBC the way Doug Mitchell has, you know, money talks, and money talks big in this situation. And I don't think that Doug Mitchell's voice can be ignored in this situation. I have a very good source on this, and I have some quotes that are completely shocking, to tell you the truth, in terms of really how direct they are and how displeased they are. The source close to Doug told me that they have not seen Doug. Doug's a very mellow, mild-mannered man. They have not seen Doug this angry in 3 years over something. Even though this is on the list of 50 things for him, if you took a list of priorities, the top 50 things, this might rank as 49, this has made him extremely angry.
We'll read it on the website. Obviously, Doug Mitchell wanted somebody else hired, or he just didn't like the process.
Doug Mitchell did not like the process.
Gotcha.
And I think what this has done is that it's, you know, Bob's been, Bob Phillip has been, I think, quite open and transparent in this neck of the woods about making a move to the NCAA. But I think from what I've been told by the Mitchells, that he has not been open and transparent with them in the same degree. That's the estimation that I make in all of this. So expect to see some fireworks the next time an NCAA application is put into the president's office. This is going to get interesting down the road. When it comes to the football program, I think that people should give Sean Olsen a chance to make things work. I think it'll be interesting to see how he puts his staff together, to see if he wants to retain any of the current staff. Certainly a lot of the part-time volunteer staff will hang around. It's going to be interesting to see how all of this plays out.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that kind of leads me nicely into the next sort of part of the discussion here, which is the season ahead. How much of a chance does Sean Olsen have at success in the season ahead, considering he has to build his staff? He has lost time to recruit already. We saw at Simon Fraser when Dave Johnson didn't have a full off season to work with, the result was an 0-8 season. What do you see for Sean Olsen with the UBC lineup as it is heading into 2010?
I think when you take a look at his ability to go and use a CIS rule for a team that's moving from one conference to another, in this case, well, one body to another, and that's the SFU club moving up moving sideways in some cases to the NCAA, he'll be able to claim a lot of those older players from the Simon Fraser program and immediately bring them into the UBC camp and patch up any holes, especially a few of them on defense, and maybe a receiver or two to complement Billy Green and Dave Boyd, and quite frankly some of the solid offensive linemen that they have on the line there. So it will be a quick fix for UBC football by being able to take the players who want to remain in the CIS and want to remain playing Canadian football over their last couple of years before UBC may or may not make a move, and certainly fortify the lineup by doing that. So I think any miss in terms of recruiting will be easily negated by that. There's another thing, too. Anyone that followed this team, that actually paid attention to this team, saw an unbelievable rash of injuries on defense.
Yeah.
If this team stays healthy, if that team stayed healthy last year, there's a good chance that they could have been a 500 team at the very least, maybe one game above 500. If they stay healthy this time around, you know, if things break right for Sean Olsen and his offensive concepts flourish like they did 2 years ago, there's no reason to think that this team can't go 6-2.
Yeah, and I believe Billy Green has demonstrated even over the course of this past season improvement from game to game, generally speaking. So there's some reason for optimism there as well.
Yeah, I think there's lots of reason for optimism in that. I think what you saw in terms of what Olsen got out of the late Byrne Dietrich at quarterback.
Yep.
And even Caleb Clark, who he was responsible for recruiting to Simon Fraser, he managed to get a lot out of both those two guys. If I wanted a guy just in as a quarterback coach, if nothing else, I'd bring Sean Olsen in as an offensive coordinator. Even though he has that 7-18 and no contest on his record, I think over the last 2 years, he got the most out of what that program had to offer on the offensive side of the ball at Simon Fraser.
Jim, I literally do think, and maybe it is sentimentality here a little bit, but I go back to when I saw Sean Olsen as a player and just my years covering UBC here, and I do mean this, I never saw a better leader as a player than Sean Olsen, and young guy, and I just think, yeah, he might not have the experience, but this could be, if it works out, we don't know, but it could be something special here at UBC. They're taking a shot at Sean Olsen, but if he's the right guy, this could just be the perfect fix.
Well, we don't know.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right. You know, we'll have to wait and see. There's a whole different set of pressures that are on a head coach at the university level. Even the set of pressures that he had when he was running the Vienna Vikings will be different than what he experiences at UBC. Certainly, if he is to be assisted, unlike the previous regime, he might be able to get over some of those hurdles. There were walls in the way in terms of funding, in terms of placement of students into housing, in terms of academic appeals. Like, none of the support was there to help the previous regime create success. They were set up for failure. If those things are addressed going into this year, if Sean Olsen in this one day negotiation for his contract has a lot of these things in writing and can hold the athletic department accountable, then he sets himself up for some sustained success. But that's one of those things where we will just have to wait and see.
You a fan of the hire, though, Jim?
I'm undecided on it, to tell you the truth. I like Sean Olsen as an individual. Is he ready yet? I think maybe if you would have asked Sean in the off season, and I certainly didn't ask him this, but the word I heard was he even had reservations about his state of readiness. And when you take a look at the grid of other coaches there, I would say everyone except one of them, I might put them ahead of Sean Olsen. But you cannot ignore the alumni factor in all of this. And if you do create an energy around the program, it can do a lot for recruiting in the long run. And he might have a special opportunity and a special window when you consider some of the holes he can fill with players who are experienced in a system, don't have to move out of the lower mainland, and can continue on in a familiar league and in a familiar conference.
Cool. Jim Mullen. Jim, thank you so much for doing this. Look forward to reading your article. And, yeah, thanks for coming on today. Very much appreciate it. And congrats on you guys broke the story. Congrats there.
I'll take the congratulations. And you know what? When I was telling you some of that stuff about the what's going into the story, I loved also taking your breath away.
Yeah, you know what? It's not that often that Daryl is kind of stuck for words after.
You read it. You tell me what you think.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
NW Tyler.
I'm a big Sean Olsen fan, though. I'm excited to see what he can do here, Jim.
Well, you know, I'm hoping for some success out here because really when you take a look back, not only at the last 10 years, but you go back to early in the decade, this was the last decade for football at UBC, and it'd be nice to see something special turn things around and bring it back.
Last quarterback to win a playoff game for UBC, their current head coach.
Yeah, exactly. And last man to win a Vanier Cup as a quarterback. And that's really what's important at the end of the day, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yep. Jim Mullen. Jim, thanks so much for doing this.
Okay.
Thanks, Jim.
It'll be Jim Mullen. So, Julia, we're going to get him on?
Yeah.
Why don't you just dial him up?
Okay.
Well, I just dial them up. You're listening to Wieners Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio. There will be a press conference here at UBC at 12 o'clock. Sean Olsen, we are told from everybody, this is a done deal, will be announced as the next head coach of the UBC Thunderbirds, something I am extremely excited about. He's the guy I have wanted from the get-go. And, you know, Jim talks about their, you know, sentimentality, but I'll go back to saying Sean Olsen was the greatest player leader I ever saw in the male sports here at UBC, and he's got some offensive coordinator experience now, and he's got some head coaching experience, and he gets the big call, and I say kudos to the UBC athletic department, a man who was able to be one of my confirmations of this story earlier in the day, and he's been with me every step of the way here, always one step ahead of me, Julio Caravana from the BC Lions Radio Network. So, Julio, you can confirm it with us again. You heard today, Sean Olsen informed SFU this morning that he's taking the UBC job tomorrow.
Yeah, I've got it on a pretty good source that Sean won't be back and has accepted the head coaching job at UBC, and I believe that they're going to have a press conference tomorrow to confirm that. And you know, great news for a great young coach. It must be a thrill for him to be able to go back to his alma mater and take over that program and bring that youth and that excitement that he's going to bring to the table there and try to turn that program around.
Julie, you know so much about, obviously, the CFL. Gary Echeverry was one of the names mentioned. We heard Adam Rita was one of the names mentioned. Offensive coordinator in Calgary. Who's that, Julio?
The offensive coordinator in Calgary, George Cortez?
No, Craig Dickinson is the name we were hearing.
Oh, Craig Dickinson is the special teams.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay, sorry. He was another one of the names mentioned here, Julio. We're told he got a look. Surprised that Sean Olsen was able to beat out all three of those candidates.
Well, you know, all those candidates, they bring a definite set of skills to the table. But I think overall, when you look at, you know, what I think UBC wanted to do, and we talked about this a couple times, Daryl, is they wanted that reconnect with the alumni. And I think that they felt that in the last few years, maybe they had been disconnected. And by bringing an old alumni back into the fold, you know, he's going to, you know, do, you know, what Dave Johnson did at SU is get that alumni on board to get that program turned around, because those are, you know, that's where it all starts. When you get the support of the alumni and everybody's pointed in the right direction, that's when good things are going to happen. And so for Sean Olson, that's going to be the first thing probably to get going. And, you know, there's always going to be, you know, whenever those two jobs come up here in Vancouver, whether it's UBC or SFU, you're going to get a lot of big name guys that are going to be attracted to this, to those jobs, because of where the programs are. It's a great city. They're great programs with steeped in tradition. And that's going to happen. But for Sean to get it, I think it's a great move because of his affiliation with the university.
And this was a guy, I mean, you know, you've been working at SFU, and I've asked you this before, Dave Johnson, I mean, they do really think highly of this guy, hey?
Of Sean?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, they really, really hold him in high regard, as they should. You know, he's a great guy. He's obviously a great coach, and he's paid his dues up to this point. He, you know, he spent a lot of time over in Austria coaching and, you know, getting, you know, his feet wet, and he's progressed into that offensive coordinator's job at SFU, where they've completely turned it around, and he's one of the big reasons why. And obviously the hiring committee at UBC, you know, they're not just going to give a guy a job because he's an ex-alumni and he used to play in the program. They're giving this job to Sean Olson because they believe that he can turn out and that he's the right fit for that program. And that's important for them moving forward. And I'm sure that it's an exciting time for Sean, and it's well-deserved because, as I said earlier, he's a great guy. Who is a very, very enthusiastic, very positive guy. And I can't tell you how impressed I was when I went up there to help coach out the quarterbacks last spring. The enthusiasm and energy that he brings to the table.
So, yeah, Julie, I mean, you know, we heard the experience, but, you know, you think UBC, they did the right move here, hiring Sean Olson.
Well, you know, yeah. There's going to second guess that, right? There's going to be people who are going to think that they should have given the job to Dito Jeremia. There's going to be others that are going to think, oh, Gary Echeverry's had huge success at the pro level. You know, why didn't they go with him? And I think that overall, if you look at the entire package that Sean Olson brings to the table, his was the best package for right now. And, you know, by going with a young coach like this, I think that Sean, if he has the kind of success that I think he's going to have, I mean, he's a guy that can be here for a long, long time because of obviously being a young guy and gaining that experience each and every year. He could really kind of be solidifying himself in this community for a long time, and I'm sure that's what he's hoping for.
Julia, and going back to SFU, you can tell us this from experience, because I've seen it here at UBC, especially with that, we always talk about that late 90s alumni here. I mean, all those guys that are still involved in football, Julia, they're all coaching at SFU right now. SFU is a program in absolute shambles. Dave Johnson came in, took him a couple years, but you mentioned the alumni. And, you know, that's who Sean Olson really got to learn from in this regard. What did Dave Johnson do with the alumni there? What was it like before, and what can we expect to happen here at UBC? Take us through that process.
Well, I think what you can expect if you're an alumni at UBC is to now be getting a phone call from Sean Olson or for somebody in that program. And they're gonna want the support of you. They're gonna want you to get involved, come to the games, be a part of the recruiting process, and use some of those higher profile names that have graced the field at UBC and might still be a part of the Canadian Football League in some shape, way, shape or form. Ex players, all those kinds of things. Those are the things that were really lacking at SFU. Was that if you were an alumni there, you kind of played your last game and you never heard from them. You might hear from them every couple of years wanting your money, but you didn't feel that involvement. And I think that, you know, now with Dave Johnson, I think it, there's a sense of family that, you know, you were a part of a program at SFU. I'm a part of a program now. So we might be 25 years apart in age or 30 years apart in age, but we're still connected by our experiences at our university. And I think it for a lot of alumni, whether or not it's SFU alumni, and I can speak for the BC Lions as well, and what they've done a tremendous job of there is making you feel welcome, making you feel like you're a part of something and a part of a family. And that's what the challenge is going to be ahead of them. And I don't think it's going to be much of a challenge because I think the guys at UBC are probably desperate to try to get involved, but maybe just haven't been included. And I know that Sean's going to probably reach out and try to include a lot of those guys.
The short amount of time, Julio, before training camp, relatively speaking, a short amount of time, roughly 7 months until the middle of August. We saw with Dave Johnson when he took over at SFU in the middle of the offseason and not having that full offseason to recruit and prepare that the result was not very good, an 0-8 season. Maybe this is unfair to kind of get your prediction, but do you think Sean Olsen can get the team into the playoffs in his first season?
Well, yeah, that's going to be, you know, obviously a big challenge for him. But I think what he has going for him, as opposed to somebody who's being kind of airlifted in here and dropped into this city without knowing, you know, the ins and outs of recruiting and the high schools and who's coming out and who's, you know, worth taking a look at, who are the top recruits, he's not going to have to ask very many people because he knows.
Yeah.
He's been a part of that process. He's been right in the middle of the recruiting process probably at SFU right since the season ended. And since his involvement here the last few years, he knows who's available. He knows who's out there. So I think that that's a big plus. The only negative is that he's going to get a late start on some of these guys because he didn't know whether or not he was going to get the job or not. So as far as recruiting goes, you can't really recruit somebody to go to UBC if you don't know you're going to be the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
So now all of a sudden he's got to start going out there. He can sell himself to the high school players and the recruits as being the head coach at UBC, and this is what he can do. And he knows those guys, especially here in province, and that's going to be a big advantage. Now what he's going to be able to do with that team going forward, I think, you know, there's going to be some high expectations, but realistically, you know, any coach that takes over a university program, you need those, you know, 2 or 3 years to kind of see the fruit of your labor kind of deal. Like when you get a chance to recruit your class and bring your guys in so that they can make an impact, that's going to be, you know, that's going to be the big question mark. If he can do that quickly, then they can turn things around.
Something that we haven't talked a little bit about on the show so far today is where does this leave Simon Fraser? They lost their quarterback tragically in November, and now they lose an offensive coordinator. Is it going to kind of be a reset season now for the Clan with Sean Olsen departing?
Well, I'm sure that's going to be a big blow. I know that Dave and Sean have a great relationship, and they got along very well. It's obviously something that Dave Johnson had to know, you know, was going to happen. Anytime you bring good people on your staff and you know that they're good people, there's always going to be rumors around them going somewhere else. And in this case, Sean Olsen is leaving. So it's going to be a void. But I think the advantage that they have is that Dave has such great experience both on the offense and defensive side that he's going to be able to probably play. He's going to probably play a much bigger role offensively this year than maybe he did maybe last year. I know that the search is out for a defensive coordinator because they lost Lou Delorier as well, and I think that they're pretty close to signing somebody. So, if they hire a defensive coordinator, I think Dave Johnson's going to be, you know, play a much bigger role with that offense. So, you know, they're not going to lose, their entire offensive identity because Sean leaves, but it's definitely going to be, you know, a hole to fill because he was such a good coach.
Julio, just a couple more questions. Have you spoke to Dino Jeremia yet? You know what his status is?
No, I've not spoken to Dino. I just found out today about what's going on. I'm still actually at the fire hall. I work the day shift today, so I'm just finishing up now. So he'll be one of the guys I call tonight and to find out what's going on. And hopefully, you know, for his sake, because I know Dino for a long time. He's one of my very, very good friends. I hope that he gets an opportunity, you know, to work with Sean if that's what he decides to do. And we'll find out pretty quickly, I think, tomorrow with that press conference, what Sean's plans are with the rest of his coaching staff.
Do they know each other? Do you know that?
No, I don't think they know each other. I think they know of each other, and I'm sure that, it's such a small circle of coaches in this area. Like, you know, everybody knows one another, Daryl, and I think that anybody that knows Dino knows that, you know, he's a very, very hardworking guy who takes his job very seriously, and he's a good coach. And I know that Sean probably, you know, has asked around about Dino, and I'm sure that anybody who speaks to Dino will tell you that he's a, you know, first-class individual who's a great, great football coach.
Julia, we've got a job to do for this upcoming football season, you know.
Do we?
Yeah, we got to take on a role here. If Dave Johnson and Sean Olson, we got to start nudging them. We gotta keep the Shrum Bowl going, Julio.
Oh yeah, no, they gotta keep the Shrum Bowl going. I would imagine that. You know, I mean, that's a great tradition that I don't want to see lost. And you talk about gaining the support of the alumni and all that stuff. I think that's one game that it's a chance for all the alumni from both sides to get together and then rehash some old memories, because it's a great opportunity and it's a great tradition. And I would be shocked if they were to let that die.
Because SFU, NCAA Division II, UBC, still in the CIS, there will be scheduling troubles. These schools haven't got along great, I'm told, these last couple of years. But with Sean and Dave Johnson now in charge of the schools, they've got a relationship. You just got to hope they're going to get together. That's a big thing.
It is, but it's such a great game, right? Like, you're right. There are going to be some difficulties, but, you know, they can work through those difficulties and get that thing done, because it's a thing that needs to stay alive. I know, you know, having come out from the East, it was dead my first year, and then my second year they brought it back, and it was such a great event, and it would be an absolute shame. But you're right, the relationship that the universities have, and I think the relationship that the universities have with their coaches, they understand it, and that's why I think they're going to keep it alive.
Okay, I'm just saying, if Dave Johnson, you hear something, get on him on that one, okay?
I don't think I need to get on him, Daryl. I think that he understands you.
Awesome. Julio Caravetta. Julio, thanks as always. One of these days, okay, I'll find out a story before you do. One of these days.
All right, Daryl. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot, Julio. Julio Caravetta of the BC Lions Radio Network there, Tyler. More optimistic look.
Yeah.
He thinks Sean Olson is the right hire. I think Sean Olson was the only hire. And I hear what Jim Mullen's saying, and all these top candidates and all these resumes. Just somebody who's, you know, followed this football team and saw what it was 10 years ago. I think bringing in somebody like Sean Olson, I mean, maybe it's just me. If they had hired anybody else, I mean, is it almost time for me to start going to root for SFU? Because that's where all the players I used to root for are. You know, I mean, are you rooting for a jersey or rooting for the players? I mean, this is almost one of those situations now where I think if you had told Dave Johnson 10 years ago or 11 years ago, whenever it was, that 10 years from now, Sean Olson would be the head coach. This is when Dave Johnson was the head coach here. And then the pizza parlor fight happened and, you know, they haven't won a playoff game all the last decade.
Yep.
If you had told Dave Johnson back then, you're going to be the coach at SFU in 2010, NCAA Division II, and Sean Olson will be the head coach at UBC, I think he would have said okay. And, you know, back then, if this is how life was going to... Forget what happened in the middle. We're not going to tell him that story. But I think this almost closes a chapter, and as somebody who's been following this school, I don't think there is a better hire that could have been done here. I mean, granted, it might not have gone well with Doug Mitchell and all that stuff. We got anything on that there or not?
Nope.
Yet? But overall, I think Sean Olson was the guy. Where I'm critical of is why the hell this took 2.5 months.
Well, we had Bob Phillip on when we were talking with Jim. You mentioned we had him on fairly close to the beginning of the process once Ted Gavaya was on. I believe we had Bob on the day of or the day after the firing.
Yeah.
And right away when we had him on the show, and he was talking about the importance of having somebody to connect with the alumni. So, I mean, really, right from day one, this was the guy they were looking for.
And one thing Bob Phillip has done, and, you know, you look back and, you know, where I have a trouble with the people that are so critical of him here at the university is, you know, people love football. They follow the football team. But, you know, we follow here at the station, at least, we like to follow all the sports.
Yeah.
I mean, we just talked about Dick Mosier retiring after 24 years. Look at his record. Look at the record in both soccer programs. You look at the field hockey record. You look at both swimming records. You look at what both basketball teams have done. I mean, women's volleyball, what they've done. You're looking at men's hockey, men's volleyball, and football haven't been that successful. Even men's hockey's getting better.
I mean, and even the men's volleyball's made nationals. Yeah. You know, they've had medal finishes, just no gold medals recently. But, you know, I mean, most of the programs, for sure,
baseball,
have been very successful.
Look at baseball, and a lot of stability at the coaching ranks.
Yeah.
And that, you know, so when you look at what he's done here overall, I have zero criticisms.
Yeah.
However, this football team has been an absolute disaster. And I think when he's looked at his other programs and the way the alumni are getting back involved, I mean, we've heard Milan Dragicevic got the alumni back involved. And Kevin Hansen's doing a really good job at that with the basketball team, you know what I mean?
Yep.
What he's putting together. And I think this is the guy, and once again, I'll say it, is just all the athletes. My story with Sean Olsen being a leader here.
Yeah.
I'll go back to the last regular season game he ever played here at UBC. It was the last game of the season. They had to beat Calgary on Friday night to make the playoffs. And this was a team that went into the year as, you know, one of the top teams in the conference, and you could see the season was starting to go down. Well, they got that crap kicked out of them in that last game of the year versus Calgary, and I was doing the radio broadcast with Sammy Goldman, and Steve Ewan of the Vancouver Province was always coming on, and we were yucking it up, and we were ripping the hell out of UBC. We were just doing the broadcast for fun, because we had watched this team be like a top team in the conference and literally just fall to garbage within almost a month and a half period. It was really something. Coach Jay Prepchuk, bunch of people were complaining about us. We were ripped apart on a website, and I think...
You're not the only one that's been ripped.
Yeah, and they wanted the tape of the game.
Oh.
They wanted it.
Oh, wow.
And the station, wouldn't give it up.
Nope.
They wouldn't give it up. They said, this is before the internet, right? If you didn't hear this game live, it was available on the internet, but you couldn't, there were no podcasts, right? Sean Olsen, the quarterback of the team, not the coach, came out and said to the players, we did play like crap.
Yeah.
Leave them alone.
Yeah.
Well, the coach wanted the tape. He didn't want the tape.
Well, I mean,
at least I think the coach.
And I feel in the last number of years since we've had the rights to do the football again, the team hasn't had a lot of success. And I think we've been very fair in our analysis of the team and been harsh when necessary. And when we talk to the players, they say, you know, yeah, it wasn't very good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I had Dave Boyd on last week. And this is the other thing I'd like to see with Sean Olsen is, at least with me, and you talk to his former teammates, he's always been a great communicator.
Mm-hmm.
And talking to Dave Boyd, that was a problem with the last coach. He said it to me last week.
Yeah. And I've heard that from other players,
You've heard that from other players, too. So I think this is a giant step forward. It's a new era in this program. It's a fresh outlook. And one thing with Bob Phillip, he's never been afraid to hire somebody because of lack of experience. And you hear the alumni. I don't know what happened with Doug Mitchell and this hiring.
May have been a big reason why the delay has been what it was.
I mean, does it concern us? I don't know. No. We just want to see the team do
kind of unfortunate timing with that story, though. I mean, they had the hockey rink named after him and all those good things, and now he's mad at the school. Anyways, we got to move along with the show.
Yeah, we got to get a hold of Milan Dragicevic and Vern Knopp. We're going to have to do quick interviews there. We had a story to follow today.
Yeah, we did.
We had a story to follow. All right, everybody. We're going to take a quick break. When we're back, Milan Dragicevic, the head coach of the UBC Thunder men's hockey team, will be with us. I'm pretty late with this phone call, Tyler, but hopefully Coach will let us slide here.
He will.
I hope. All right, you're listening to 101.9 FM. And I would like to say, I really like these pledge drive, the Family Guy.
Yeah, they're good.
They're good. I mean, they should have made like 30 of them, because I'm pretty sick of this one by now, but I still like them. Milan Dragicevic, head coach of the hockey team, when we're back. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
Stewie, hey.
Hey there. So, it's been 24 hours. Got my money?
Oh, you know what? Just give me till next Friday. I'll have it for you.
Oh, that's funny. I could have sworn I said have it today.
Yeah, I don't have it, sorry.
Oh, well, all right then. That's good, OJ.
Ah!
Yeah, that hurt?
Ah!
That hurt?
What the hell?
Yeah?
It feels so good.
Thank you to all the donors who pledged their financial support during the CITR on-air fund drive. We are moved by your generosity, and thank you for enabling us to purchase new equipment and improve our programming. Do remember to stop by the station, pay your pledges, and pick up your prizes. We look forward to meeting you anytime between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. on weekdays. Thank you again for your amazing response. Listen to our happy voices on the air, happier after we purchase new equipment for our studios. Thanks again.
You got till 5 o'clock. You hear me? You got till 5 o'clock.
You freaking psychopath!
Clean yourself up.
Morning.
Good day to you, sir. Hey, wait a minute. What the hell? Getting real tired of you ducking me, man. Yeah?
Oh, my God.
Thank you to all the donors who pledged their financial support during the CITR on-air fund drive. We are moved by your generosity, and thank you for enabling us to purchase new equipment and improve our programming. Do remember to stop by the station, pay your pledges, and pick up your prizes. We look forward to meeting you anytime between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. on weekdays. Thank you again for your amazing response. Listen to our happy voices on the air, happier after we purchase new equipment for our studios. Thanks again.
All right, let's go to the bank.
And we have confirmed early reports of the death of a mother of two. Sources say that her twin children, aged 21, will journey to her home country in search of a father thought to be dead and a brother they didn't know existed. This is the premise of Scorched, the Dora Award-winning play by Lebanese-Canadian playwright Waji Mouawad. Critics agree, Scorched is a must-see. Amanda Farrell Lowe of Monday Magazine calls Scorched a challenging and significant work, expertly interpreted. And Monica Pendergast of CBC Radio declares, Scorched is one of the finest plays I've seen, a remarkable achievement. Anyone who cares about good theater should not miss it. The Vancouver premiere of Scorched will run January 19th to 31st at the Waterfront Theater. Tickets and student pricing available online at GranvilleIslandCulturalSociety.com. That's GICulturalSociety.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. With us online, Coach, very sorry I am a little late here, Milan Dragicevic, head coach, UBC men's hockey team. My apologies, Coach.
Well, I understand. You know, we're not number one on the radar list with you anymore, so I understand.
Now, Coach. Hey, we didn't bump you off the show, Coach. We still found time for you. Give us that at least.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'll give it another weekend and see what you guys say.
There you go. Milan Dragicevic, head coach, men's hockey team with us. Coach, good weekend for you guys. A decent performance, but you need a few more points than what you got. Your assessment in Manitoba, a very good team. 3-0 win on the Friday, 5-2 loss on the Saturday. Your assessment of the weekend.
Well, Friday, as I told the guys, I said that's one of the best games that we played, you know, probably during my time here over 8 years. We won 3-0, and we just played 60 minutes and bought in completely. It was nice to see. And, you know, on Saturday, we lost 5-2. They scored an empty net, but it's not like we got outplayed bad. We outshot them, and it's one of the few games of the year where I could say a goalie stole a game against us. And I thought Christie was unreal. We just missed, you know, point blank shots, and he was just awesome. And so I credit our guys for continuing to fight and battle through some adversity. But I thought Christie was a difference on Saturday night. So our power play let us down on Saturday. We went 0 for 6, and I think that was the difference, no question.
Yeah, 0 for on the power play, and you know you gotta give props to the Steve Christie here, Coach. One of the top players in this conference has been for a long time. I mean, you did lose to one of the, if not the best goalie in this conference, hey?
Well, not only is he the best goalie, but he's the league MVP. You know, he's the league MVP in my mind. I don't think there's anyone even close to him. And I think the difference was just goaltending. And not that Jordan White played bad by any means. I thought he was very good. But he stole a game for them. And, you know, you need that to happen.
Coach, tell us about the play of Jordan White. You mentioned gave up an empty netter, so 4 goals against on the Saturday. Got a shutout for you guys on the Friday night. Made 30 saves in the process. This former Portland Winterhawk starting to deliver for you guys here, hey?
Yeah, you know, he is, and he played really solid, and I give our guys credit in front of him. We blocked a lot of shots, and we had good sticks in the penalty kill, and, you know, he saw, and the ones that he didn't see, he made in the right position. So, you know, he's playing really well. He's going to get the start on Friday, because I know that's going to be your next question. So I'll be beat you to it. He'll get the start on Friday, and I think it's well-deserving to go with the hot guy right now.
What are you expecting from the Lethbridge Pronghorns based on what you've seen so far this season? They're coming off a three-game winning streak, so they're going to be pretty tough at home, I would imagine.
They're going to be really tough. They got a big team. They picked up some big physical players at Christmas time. They beat us three times this year out of four. And, you know, over the last 5 or 6 years, you know, I guess you could say we've had our way with them, beating them in the playoff series and probably winning the overall conference from them as far as our games against them. But this year they've had our number, and this is the team that we're competing with. We have to sweep this weekend. If we split, then our playoff chances take a huge nosedive. So, you know, we're just focusing on Friday night and winning that, and that's the biggest thing. They're a big physical team, and they dump the puck in and they forecheck, and they play a real mean physical, grind them out in the corners kind of game, and that's what we have to do.
Well, yeah, Coach, is this kind of almost a latch-ditch weekend for you guys? I mean, you're currently 6 points out of a playoff spot, but you've got some good matchups. You play Lethbridge, which, you know, you have to assume are definitely winnable games, and you've got Calgary is facing off against Manitoba, so hopefully one of those teams can get a sweep for you guys, and then Saskatchewan has to take on Alberta for two. I mean, if you can get those two wins this weekend, you're going to look up and you might be right in that playoff picture. This is really one of those key weekends, if not the key weekend of the year.
We can't look past the next week. And this is it. This is our last weekend at UBC, as you guys know, and we're off the Burnaby 8 ranks next week. But, yeah, you know, we're not looking past anybody. Yeah, and we still feel that we still can control our own destiny if we win the right games and the right amount. And we know we have to win 7 out of 8 games to even qualify for the playoffs. So, you need to be above 500 to make it, and that puts us right at 1 point above 500. So this is a huge weekend. The guys have been practicing hard, and, you know, we just got to be able to finish more. And I think right now the power play is something that we're working on lots to generate some traffic and get the point shots through and, you know, change the lines up a little bit to create some more offensive opportunities for some of our better players up front.
Well, I like it when you lead into that one, Coach. You mentioned line change-ups. What do we got?
Well, I'm going to move up Darryl May up to the first line with Brandon Campos and Justin McCray. He's a seasoned veteran. He's been here for 4 years. This is his fifth year, so I want to give him that opportunity. He's got his feet wet now after four games, so I think he can really make a presence on that first line and play more power play and have a bigger of an impact now.
So is it Jeff Lynch moves down, or?
Well, no, Jeff Lynch, Tyler Rurell, and Matthew Schneider are going to stay together. And you know what, in Manitoba, they've been our best line ever since we put them together about 8 games ago. They've been just dominant, and if you watch them this weekend, they're rarely going to play defense. The problem is that they just don't finish, even though they're playing offense and they're cycling the puck. They have to finish better on a more consistent basis, and I think when they finish and they start scoring, they can, you know, they're legitimately a top line in this league. But you'll see this weekend that they won't play any defense. They're going to be in the offensive zone all the time. Yeah. But they just got to finish, and that's kind of been the story with a lot of our guys. Most predominantly that line right there. They just wear teams down, but they have to learn how to finish and score and produce goals for us to be successful.
So Max Grassi moves down.
Yeah, Max. Maybe there's a lot of pressure on a first year player to play. You know, put with McCray and Campos, and he's going to move down, and might give some other guys that opportunity as well.
And Coach, lastly, a guy who I thought has played very good for you guys defensively this year. I know you're hoping for more goals out of him. He did get his second and third goal on the weekend. Scott Wasden.
Yeah, you know, he scored 2 great goals. One was a drive and a 3-on-2, and the other one he just, you know, beat the defense wide and, you know, stuck at the far post. And he's playing really well, and to his credit, you know, he's going to play a little bit more expanded role, a little bit in the power play, just because he's been one of our better players, and we got to ride the hot guys now.
There you go. Milan Dragicevic, Coach, thanks so much for doing this, and best of luck versus Lethbridge on the weekend. Thanks again, Coach, and sorry we were late. Sorry we were late.
Don't let it happen again.
There you go. Thanks, Coach. Milan Dragicevic.
Should have pointed out that I believe a few weeks ago he wasn't picking up the phone when Jeff Sargent was filling in. So might be a little rich for him to be making that comment.
Yeah, I'm surprised this team is still in it. actually. After that loss to Regina on the Friday night a couple weeks ago, hey, they're still alive at least.
Well, they did get one against Manitoba, so they helped themselves there. But the other teams have been beating each other, so that's what's keeping them in it for sure. But certainly this year, the hill is a much longer and much steeper to get into the playoffs than it was the last number of years, even though the Birds squeaked in at the end of the season like last year.
Four teams make it this year. It used to be six.
Yeah, that's the reason.
Here's really... You didn't say that.
Yeah. Well, I was going to get to it, but...
I cut you off.
Yeah. That's okay.
You look at the... Here's really what they need to happen is UBC's got 20 points, 20 games, 15 points. Their best shot to catch a team for the top four is Calgary, who's in third right now.
Yeah.
But they've got 20 points in 22 games. Saskatchewan's in fourth, but they've played only 18 games and have 21 points. So you got to figure their best chance is to catch Calgary, who they play twice from here on in.
Yeah.
Calgary plays Manitoba this weekend, who's a pretty good team in second place. UBC needs Manitoba to sweep Calgary. UBC sweeps Lethbridge. Suddenly, they're right back in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, that would be...
That's best case scenario. And just to throw in good measure, Alberta sweeps fourth place Saskatchewan, just to keep that...
Yeah. Well, if that scenario plays out, UBC would only be 3 points out of a playoff spot with games coming up against those Calgary Dinos and the same number of games played. So that's exactly the scenario that they'd be hoping for.
Yeah, so that's my best case scenario of the weekend.
Before we go to break, though, a little more positive
women's
news.
Hockey. Yes. Women's hockey.
So they had a tough one against the Alberta Pandas on Friday night, a webcast we had on CITR.ca, a 4-1 loss. But the women's hockey team bounces back in the Saturday rematch at Father Bauer Arena and hands the Alberta Pandas their first loss of the season with a 2-0 shutout win over those Alberta Pandas. Alberta outshooting the Birds 11-5 in the first period, but UBC had all the momentum heading into the second. Those backbreaker goals late in the period, Kelsey Kirkham tallying with 11 seconds to go in the first. Set up by 50-year forward Jenny Mihaljevic, that gave the Birds a 1-0 lead. Goaltender Melinda Choi was just outstanding for the Birds as they were able to hold on. They added an empty netter late in the game, and that gave UBC a very critical win as they're battling fiercely for a playoff spot. As we look at the standings, just one game back of Regina for the fourth and final playoff spot. Of course, losing to them a couple of times 2 weeks ago was not helpful for that cause, but UBC still right in the thick of it, and getting a big win against the Alberta Pandas, a daunting task for sure.
Yeah, Alberta, you said it, 17-1. Mm-hmm. Alberta in 18 games, their goals against differential plus 58.
Yeah.
So they're winning by over 3 goals per game.
Only allowed 15 goals all season.
13 coming into that game.
Yeah.
13.
I mean, that's
17.
Just remarkable.
Yeah.
You know?
So there you have it.
So good job by the women's hockey team, and they now travel to Lethbridge for a pair of games against the Pronghorns while Alberta takes on Saskatchewan.
All right, everybody, we're going to take a quick break. Late calling him, too, but we don't care. Vern Knopp, assistant coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team, men's basketball team, coming up right after this. Should I play the family? We'll play one more time.
Yeah, sure.
Why not? Right.
Stewie. Hey.
Hey there. So, it's been 24 hours. Got my money?
Oh, you know what? Just give me till next Friday. I'll have it for you.
Oh, that's funny. I could have sworn I said have it today.
Yeah, I don't have it. Sorry.
Oh, well, all right then. That's good, OJ.
Ah!
Yeah, that hurt.
Ah!
That hurt.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Oh, so
good. Thank you to all the donors who pledged their financial support during the CITR on-air fund drive. We are moved by your generosity, and thank you for enabling us to purchase new equipment and improve our programming. Do remember to stop by the station, pay your pledges, and pick up your prizes. We look forward to meeting you anytime between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. on weekdays. Thank you again for your amazing response. Listen to our happy voices on the air, happier after we purchase new equipment for our studios. Thanks again.
You got till 5 o'clock, you hear me? You got till 5 o'clock.
You freaking psychopath!
Clean yourself up.
Welcome, everybody, back to the show. Here to close us off here on January the 19th, Vern Knopp, assistant coach, UBC Thunderbird men's basketball team. Vern, are you a Family Guy fan?
No, actually not.
Really?
Never watched it.
Cleveland Show?
Nope.
American Dad?
Nope.
Oh, for sure.
So you're not into Fox Sunday Animation Domination?
No, I'm not a big animated fan, no.
Really?
Really.
Wow. What do you watch, Vern?
My only real TV show that I watch, I got two of them, and that's 24, which started again on Sunday night, and Criminal Minds.
Huh. He's more into the intense programming than animation and fiction and ridiculousness.
Exactly.
You're missing out, Vern Knopp. You're missing out.
No, I don't think so. No. Yeah, you can't miss out on anything you don't want to watch. So.
Wow. I don't know. With us on the line, Vern Knopp, assistant coach, UBC men's basketball. Vern, give us your thoughts on the weekend. A 26-point win versus Fraser Valley on the... I'm sorry, a 36 point win versus Fraser Valley on the Friday, and you let it be a little closer, 13-point win on the Saturday. You scored a combined 188 points in those two games. Thoughts on the weekend?
It was a good weekend. You know, we kind of knew going in, we didn't really want to have any let-ups. Even though they're a very young, inexperienced team, they do have some young talent. And we just, you know, we didn't want to make life easy for them by letting them outwork us. And we just, so I think in the two performances, we were happy because we did outwork them both nights.
Vern, you know, I got to get right into it. Enough of what happened last weekend. The season gets underway on Saturday. You excited for the season opener at Calgary on Saturday?
I would say season opener. Wow, that's, you know, there's no question. I think everybody in, that our fans, including our team and coaches, I think we've all been looking forward towards Saturday. But with that said, as Coach Hansen's made it clear to the team that we can't overlook Lethbridge on Friday, despite their record. They're a team that always plays tough at home. A couple years ago, I think they actually gave us a pretty good game. So we can't catch ourselves looking ahead to Calgary, but I'd be lying if that was that game wasn't circled for schedule.
Because, Vern, the fact remains, after you play Lethbridge on Friday, and, you know, I can say it, you can't, but I'm assuming you're going to be 12-0. And even if you're not, even if you've lost a game, the fact remains that with your last six games to go, the four teams you'll be playing in those six games are, you can pretty much say, the four top teams besides you guys in the Canada West, finishing off against Calgary on the road, two at SFU, two at home versus UVic, one at home versus Trinity Western. I mean, that's going to be a hell of a way to end the year, and it's going to be pretty fun, isn't it?
Yeah, no question. It's going to be the next few weeks is really going to tell what's going to happen as far as setting up playoff matchups and winning the division and everything. And we're definitely excited to get the ball rolling Friday night at Lethbridge.
I want to jump ahead to Friday because Saturday, I'm sorry, Bert, because we're running out of time here. Take us through, though, this UBC Calgary team and the matchup that we're going to have on Saturday. This is a team that beat you guys in the Canada West Championship game last year at home here at UBC. You beat them in the Canada West Final Four semi game in Calgary 2 years ago. There has to be a rivalry. You beat them in the national semifinal game last year in Ottawa. They have lost their top player from a year ago, Henry Beckering, but they've got a lot of leftover parts, including their top big man, Ross Beckering. Tell us about the matchup, you guys in Calgary.
Well, obviously, you know, you said it best. It is a pretty good rivalry over the last few years, just because of the last two Canada Championships. You know, us beating them on their home court, and them unfortunately returning the favor last year, and then of course we get our own revenge at Nationals, beating them in the semifinals. You know, it's a really good rivalry, very spirited, competitive rivals. There hasn't been any bitterness towards the teams. I think both teams have a mutual respect for each other. The games are always really exciting, very, very physical games, and I wouldn't expect anything else coming this Saturday. No question, it's going to be our biggest test to date, and we've already been told that they've pretty much sold out the venue on Saturday. And last time, you know, in people that have been there before, as far as our fans and even our team, you know, we're expecting a packed and very boisterous crowd, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
And people should know, if they do travel with you, Vern, very reasonably priced beer at the University of Calgary at their games.
I wouldn't know that because I guess you would know that, but I wouldn't. We're always focused on the game at hand, but their crowd's been a lot of fun over the years. We've had some pretty couple years ago. We had a pretty good laugh with them, but they tend to get a little carried away as the game goes on and the alcohol consumption takes its toll.
It's a good thing, Vern. It's a good thing. Yeah, I love the way their fans are sort of set up almost in the bleachers there, right under the rim. Hey.
Well, actually, they're not right under the rim, but we tend to get all the loudmouths behind our bench, which ironically seems to happen. They made a few comments about our suits over the years, and some of them kind of funny, and some of them not so. But it's really just something you just avoid, and it just makes for a great atmosphere between the two teams.
You are going to be taking on one of the top players in the conference, as I said, Vern. His brother Henry no longer with the team. Ross Beckering, 19 points per game, 10 rebounds. Is this going to be one of those games where Graham Bass can be out there banging again?
Yeah, no question. Graham will be the matchup for them. What do you say about Ross? Since he's been in the league, he's just been he's gotten better every single year. The last couple years, it seems like Henry's kind of got the accolades to go along with it, but Ross has just been, he's a force down low. He's big, solid, 6'8", probably 240. Extremely athletic, plays very physical, and yet has, can take the ball outside on the perimeter and shoot three as well. It's going to be Graham's job as well as other guys' jobs to, we still have to go at him on the defense, on offense to try to get him to play defense and to hopefully force him into some foul trouble. With that said, it's a lot easier said than done because he is one of the top players, not just in Canada West, but in all of the country.
Vern, I'm just last thing on this Calgary team. I mean, chances are, I'm pretty sure you guys are going to hang on to that top spot in the Canada West. We're going to see Calgary back here for that Final Four.
Yeah, I would think so. But with that said, with the teams crossing over this year and not just playing teams in BC, there's possibilities of being some pretty tough first round matchups and second round matchups where. I would think they're one of the top teams in Canada West, but with that said, there's teams that records aren't as flattering, like Saskatchewan, who are definitely capable of winning, as well as other team in SFU's having a great year. Victoria, their past history speaks for itself, so there's no lock for anybody guaranteeing a spot in the Final Four, so at the next, 4 weeks will probably give us a pretty good idea of what's going to happen.
Cool. Good stuff, Vern. And Vern, before you go, give us a J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 would you?
Not a chance. Colts are going to win by two touchdowns. Come on.
Colts are going to win by two touchdowns, hey? Do you have a jersey you wear? Are you going to be wearing a jersey or anything?
I will be getting off the plane, I believe, around 10:30 Vancouver time or 9:10 Vancouver time, I think. And I will be heading home and putting on my jersey and my Colts hat and head down to the local watering hole and support my team. Nice. No question.
There you go. So you will be drinking beer on Sunday, at least.
Normally, no, but I think in this case, I might just have a couple just to take the edge off as I'm rooting for my team.
There you go. Vern, thanks for doing this. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, that was Vern Knopp, assistant coach, UBC Thunder men's basketball team. Perfect, Tyler, 11-0 to start the year. 7 games to perfection.
There you go, but don't need to put the jinx on. You made a very critical point there at the end, too. The Canada West quarterfinal round, very critical round. Obviously, you got to win there to advance, otherwise your season's over, and they could be matched up against any number of good teams from the Prairie Division. If the playoffs started today, though, the matchup would be Lethbridge. So.
Yeah, it's actually the teams. It's Calgary who's going to have the top matchup coming into the Pacific.
Yeah.
If the playoffs were to start today, Calgary would be taking on Trinity Western in the first round.
Yeah.
So that would be
it's going to be a very exciting first round. Before we go, we should promo the weekend. Men's hockey, web only, 7:30 Friday night, UBC versus Lethbridge. Yourself and Michael Wall will have the call of that. Our radio feature on Friday is volleyball. We haven't talked about the volleyball, but the women's team, they remain number one and undefeated.
In defense to me, they practiced during this show. No. Something happened. I was having them on for a while. Either I pissed them off, I don't know. But,
it's okay. We actually had Claire Hanna on Saturday on our basketball webcast, and she talked about how they're doing 13-0, four big wins on the road against Regina and Brandon the last 2 weeks. So they'll bring it home, take on the Calgary Dinos. That's our radio feature Friday night. And then it's the reverse for Saturday. Hockey on radio, volleyball on the web. Lethbridge and Calgary, the opponents, hockey and volleyball, respectively.
And Sean Olson announces the new head coach tomorrow.
You bet.
You bet. All right, everybody. Mike with Fletcher Heads is coming up next. And this Saturday, the Chicago Blackhawks are in town to play the Canucks. And Mike, so I think 2-3 weeks ago, because I was talking about great songs when teams score a goal.
Yes.
And you turned me on to
the Fratellis.
Chelsea Dagger. That's right. You know, I bet you it leads to a half a goal a game for them at home.
It must, because the crowd goes crazy when they play.
It makes me go crazy.
Yeah.
It makes me go crazy. So I'm gonna end with Chelsea Dagger.
All right.
Fratellis or Frat Tales? What is it?
Fratellis.
And they're from?
Scotland.